to order the I'd like to call to order the regularly monthly meeting of the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission. It is 7:02 p.m. Today is Tuesday, July 20th, and all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation God, under God, indivisible, with liberty
and justice for all. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Ted Estwan.
Here.
Steve Jalowick.
Here.
Raul Sanchez. Oh, Raul.
For the record, Karen, let the record state that Raul is excused this evening.
Perfect. Okay, Albert Biskowitz.
Here.
Okay, Dave Kopchansky.
Here.
Raymond Sadlick.
Here.
Gino Di Chiavani.
Here.
Micah Frattarolo.
Here.
Dan Blitzman.
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum.
Okay, thanks, Karen. Additions, deletions, and corrections to the agenda. Let the record state that I don't have any this evening. Communications. I don't have any communications this evening. I haven't gotten to City Hall to see if there's anything, but they haven't notified me. Public portion. Is there anyone from the public who would like to address the commission at this time?
This is Attorney Dominic Thomas. I know I'm on the agenda for for an application. I do want to address the commission on behalf of three of my clients who are Derby business people. And I just need to express their wishes that the matters related to the planned development district be resolved one way or the other as soon as possible. One of them is a commercial client in a commercial zone that needs to do something that I've talked to Ryan about. It is not allowed under the regulations, something that needs to be done. And the other two are in zones that are transitional zones abutting non-residential zones. And they would like to move along or to determine whether or not they can do what they're going to do. And I just wanna say one final thing. As you know, I'm involved in a lot of planned development districts. I was listening to the tape of a prior meeting, and a comment was made, I don't recall who it was, that you are working on a draft in which you allow a lot of uses more than other towns. I'm assuming you're looking at the PDD regulation. PDD regulations allow no uses. PDD regulations are a zone change. So the uses are only allowed once the zone change takes place. So I hope that you will, on behalf of my three clients who want to move along, who want to hopefully resolve issues and do things on their property, I hope you will deliberate, but hopefully come up with a regulation that allows more creativity with respect to Derby. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Dominic. Is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Anyone else from the public? With that being said, yes?
Carmen DeCenzo, Carmen. 7th Day Drive. Also, Economic Development Liaison. I too would like the commission to look in favor of the PDD. We have quite a few areas in town that are going to need something like a PDD. I think it's time that we move the city forward, and I really don't see the city moving forward without a PDD. I don't want to give secrets away, but there's quite a few people that are waiting for the PDD. So with that in mind, I would just hope that the commission will look favorably upon it so we can move our city forward. Thank you.
Thanks, Carmen. Is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? Anyone else? Okay, with that, we'll move on to item number 7, approval of minutes for the 6/15/2021 regular meeting. I sent the minutes out to everybody. Is there a motion to approve? I'll make the motion to approve. Is there a second? No, I can't. Not for June, because I'll abstain. I was not there.
I'll make the motion approve.
Motion to approve by Steve Jalica. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded by Al Mizwitz. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And I'll abstain. Did we do the minutes? I think I sent two sets of minutes out before the May minutes. Were they handled in June, Steve?
Say that again.
The May minutes, were they handled in June and approved in June?
Because no, Karen sent no, out we've got to, yeah, we've got to approve both.
Okay, so is there a motion to approve the minutes of the May meeting? I make that motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, minutes approved. Receipt of applications. Let the records show we do not have any new applications this evening. Okay, 9A is a public hearing. Luna Limon Nature Preschool, 189 New Haven Avenue, special exception application for a child daycare center. Is this the one, Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong, that asked for a continuation and we received it in writing? You're muted, Ryan. Ryan, you're muted.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
It's okay.
Yes, we received email correspondence from Ryan Thompson, the engineer for the applicant, okay, where they grant the commission an extension to allow the public hearing to continue to August as they consider some different potential different options on, okay, on the property.
Okay, got it.
And they also request that a discussion be tabled tonight.
Okay.
To the August meeting.
Motion to table till the August meeting if we need it. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll move on to item 9B. 33 Elizabeth Street, LLC. 33 Elizabeth Street, special exception application for a commercial retail office on first floor and 22 studio and 10 one-bedroom apartments. Is there someone from the applicant to address the commission this evening? Is there someone here from the applicant?
Yes, Attorney Dominic Thomas from Cohen & Thomas, 315 Main Street, Derby, Connecticut, here representing the applicant. The property owners are present, as is Patrick Rose, who is the architect and his firm is engineering the proposal. I believe everybody on the commission is very familiar with the building. I used to refer to it in my younger days as the old UI building. A place where you went and you paid your utility bill. And it's gone through several iterations, banks and everything throughout the years. While I don't want to step on Pat Rose's toes because he's the architect, I think it on Lower Elizabeth Street, it is certainly one of the more architecturally interesting buildings that exists there. But most people don't realize, as you if you review the plans, is that the property goes all the way to Minerva Street. There is actually pretty much of an abundance of off-street parking. And my clients are proposing that under the CDD zone and under the special exception uses, that they propose keeping the downstairs area, which right now is an event area for commercial, retail, or office, and then the rest of the building be converted to 22 studio and 10 one-bedroom apartments, which I believe is a substantial benefit to downtown. Before turning this over to Pat to go over the architecture and the survey, I would just refer you, obviously, to my statement of use. It is a permitted use with a special exception. It is a development that obviously brings residents of the downtowns that have pedestrian access really to the restaurants, the services, and to transportation, to public transportation, including the train, the bus lines and everything. So it is an ideal location. As you've heard me say numerous times before this commission, the Derby train station is the only place in the state of Connecticut with a Metro North line, two major bus lines, two major highways, and a transit district. And it is very important for the economic development of Derby to bring people into the downtown, because you must bring people in first, and people attract the economic development. The property is obviously served by public water, city sewers, all that are necessary utilities. And as you will see from Pat Rose's presentation, there is an abundance of off-street parking on the site. And I think it is certainly a would be a benefit to economic development in the downtown. And I'll close with saying to you that when you discuss economic development is not just a project that generates more in taxes than it takes out in services. It's also bringing people into the downtown area that have money in their pocket and spend it on the Derby businesses. And with that, I will turn it over to Patrick Rose, the architect. And I think, Pat, you can work it out with Ryan if there was any screen sharing that's required, or with the town clerk. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Pat Rose from Rose Teasel & Company, 35 Brentwood Avenue, Fairfield, Connecticut. I'm the architect on the project. I can share my screen if you let me do that.
Pat, go right ahead.
Thank you. So this was the cover sheet of, hopefully everybody can see that. We got it in front of you.
It's not sharing, at least on my screen, is it? Does the town clerk have to allow it?
Should be able to.
Oh.
Pat, would you like me to bring it up on my screen?
I got it. Just a second. Everybody have it now?
Yes.
Yes.
Very good. So this just being the cover sheet of an adaptive reuse of 33 Elizabeth Street, which will be comprised of 32 units altogether. 10 of them are one bedroom and 22 of them are studios. And let's go to the next page. We've done a property survey of the project, of this project area, and the main building on Elizabeth Street here. There's a bridge on the second floor that connects to the rear building, which is on Minerva in this location. And luckily we have parking on either side on 3rd Street and off Minerva on this side. So luckily that those have been parking lots. I had, Brian had questioned whether they were parking lots in the past, but some of the spaces are a little, maybe a little under the aisle, maybe a little under, but I was able to provide him with some Google Maps going back to 2006, which showed that it was had been parking lot in the past. So this being our first floor plan, A101, where we have the existing meeting room on Elizabeth Street, a main lobby entrance, elevator and stair, which connect up to the residence. A second stair in that building, which goes all four stories. And then this being the rear building, which is separated on the first floor, we're showing four apartments on that first floor. There's a stairway in the middle of the building, and there are entrances off the parking lot in this entrance here for those four, two studios and two one bedrooms. We have 36 parking spaces shown on the site, where we have abundance in this corner, three on this lower lot over here behind the building on Elizabeth, and then the balance of those on the other side to the south behind and on Minerva. So we've got 36, which is, we feel is more than adequate for what we're proposing for the type of housing. We believe that we meet all the regulations that we have for the project, and our density is a little over in as much as the number of units per acre. So that's why we require a special exception for the project. Just to go up through the stories from the second floor up, we are all apartments. We have elevator, stairway, corridor, which connects the entire building back to this stairway. And then there's just a third stairway, actually, in this location. So we've got studios, one bedrooms, and bedrooms. They vary in size for the studios and one bedrooms. The studios range from 475 square feet to 689 square feet. And the one bedrooms range from 594 square feet to 736 square feet. So in the rear building, there are 12 apartments. And in the front building on Elizabeth, there are 20. On that second floor, actually, that's the bridge. This is the bridge that spans across the driveway underneath. So on the third floor, these two buildings are completely separate. We're going to build a corridor that connects the front building to the rear building and allows us to have a second means of egress for these four apartments on this third floor. Similar, they're similar studios and one bedrooms on these floors. The fourth floor is only the Elizabeth Street building, which has the same type of one bedrooms and studio apartments. So I believe that this is a very good use of the space and the building, the reuse for apartments from the offices that it previously was. The building itself is not going to be changed very much. On this left side elevation, which faces Third Street, we're going to be adding windows because there are no windows over here right now. And we need to add windows in order to make it habitable space on the rear building. And there's also a couple windows on this side that we're adding, but most of those are already there. On the right side elevation, those windows are all there. They'll be replaced with energy efficient windows. This is the bridge. And then this is the corridor, extension of the corridor on the third floor, going back over. Front elevation, which everybody's familiar with, very decorative brick facade. It's going to remain as it is. New windows will be put in, energy efficient windows. And then on Minerva Street, the facade that's there is typical brick building with bands of brick soldier horses. Very, very elegant, and even on the Minerva side. So I believe this is a real good reuse of this building. That's pretty much my presentation. I'm happy to answer questions.
There was one thing I forgot to put on the record. I do want to put it on the record, which was that the notices in accordance with your zoning regulations and the abutters within 150 feet and the radius maps were all submitted electronically to, I think, copying Ryan, Sarah, and Lisa Narowski. And that was all submitted electronically, I think, about a week or so ago.
And just to go over a couple little things that Ryan had in his report, there's a chain link fence with, other things on it, which are in poor shape. We're going to be replacing the perimeter fencing with a decorative fence on these parking lots on both sides. Much more inviting and secure. It's in poor condition right now. And then the other issue is that he had a question about lighting of the building. There actually are light fixtures that exist on the building, and they're quite old. What we'll be doing is replacing those light fixtures with a shoebox type fixture with vertical cutoffs, LED lights, these three locations on this side, which take care of the Third Street elevation, and then in these couple locations here, which take care of the southerly parking lot for lighting. Actually, there is street lighting in this area also, Minerva and Third. That touches all of Ryan's points that he had.
And what was submitted in addition to the revised plans, which were revised per Ryan's report, also Ryan's report was submitted with Rose Tizzo's responses to each line item in the report, plus the six, I believe, Google aerial photographs showing the history of parking going back to the early 2000s. I mean, we have that. If I assume all the commission members were provided with that response. If not, we can also bring that up onto the screen share. We're ready to answer any questions if anybody has any.
Ryan, I'll ask at this time if you have anything additional to add beside your letter. I'm looking at the aerial photos and your letter and the response. Do you have anything additional to add?
Well, I would, with regard to the parking, my comment was that I believe in reviewing or actually physically looking at the parking lot, the striping is no longer really all that visible. Some areas do not conform to the current regulations, but if it's historically been parked in that manner, I think that it's appropriate to continue the, I suppose, for lack of a better term, non-conforming nature of the parking spaces. I do, my primary concern from the get-go on this was obviously the appearance of the parking lots, which today are in really rough shape. This property is very prominently located downtown, and as this is a special exception, the commission has certain latitude to review elements of the site plan that wouldn't be necessarily allowed for permitted use. So I do suggest the commission carefully consider what visual improvements are being proposed. So far, all we have is a note that it's going to be a decorative fence. I would recommend that perhaps more detail be provided along the lines of what specific fencing is going to be proposed, because whatever they put in is something that the city's going to have for hopefully
decades. Yeah, I'm looking at that now. It says the chain link fence is to be replaced by decorative fence. Patrick, do you have, or Dominic, does anybody have any pictures of what you plan on presenting or replacing it with, just so we can see? Visual tools are great.
And I don't have a visual tool of the to show you at the moment on the fence. You know, it's anticipated to be aluminum type fence. And it's something that we need to discuss with the owner a little further if we give you a very specific fencing type. The other thing we're doing to the parking lots is that we are resurfacing them, restriping them, and cleaning out the drainage basins.
Okay, Ryan, one question I do have is if they currently conform to the old regulations for parking size and shape, do they have to conform to the new one with the new build, or they can put the same ones back because they're grandfathered in?
Essentially, that the parking alignment that existed historically can be reused.
Okay.
Hey, Ted, Mayor Zekin.
Yeah, Rich, go ahead.
Can I jump in real quick? The fencing and all, listen, if they can, there's a lot of Schumach and everything around the fencing, and I'm sure they're going to make it very decorative where the residents are going to want to live there and look, you know, very nice and everything. I'm very for this project. There's going to be so many, much more foot traffic down there. So I'm very looking forward to this. And with the fencing and everything, I'm pretty sure that they're going to take care of everything there, all the weeds and everything that are there. So very for this. I know you guys are going to do your due diligence, and it's going to be a home run for the downtown. So I just want to put my two cents into that. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Well, one of the things, Mayor, that we have to go through methodically, because we have one shot at this, and we know if you want to get people in there and put bodies in there for apartments, you're going to do your best and put your best foot forward. So we know they're going to clean it up. It's just visual tools. It's something we need to know as a commission to say, okay, well, what are you going to put there? Because if we just let anybody say anything, you know, you could put something up and it can fall in disrepair in 3 years from now. We know they're not going to do that because the goal is to put people there and to fill those apartments.
Absolutely. Mr. Dorsch across the street looking at that fence. He's always asked me about it. So I know, I'm assured that they are probably most likely to make it decorative. So
yeah. But the reason why we're asking is I just want to see if they had something to show the commission.
Yeah.
And we have them, we have it in writing that they're going to change it and what they're going to put there. I'm just asking if we could see something.
And certainly if Mr. Attorney Thomas, representing the property owners and the applicant, certainly the commission, you have the note on the plan. The commission can, if it considers, sees fit to approve it, can conditional upon staff reviewing the type of decorative fence. I think, you know, as Pat mentioned, most likely the aluminum, I call them aluminum wrought iron fences, the ones that are much more durable, look like wrought iron fences.
It's like the fence around my yard. I get it. And that's what I was leading to, Dominic. Just if we can condition that, that we can handle that by staff. My next question to Ryan was, can we handle it by staff as a condition that they work with the staff to put up the best fencing that they possibly can see fit for that area? So that's what I was driving at.
It's subjective.
Okay. Subjective to whom? If we entrust our CEO and our staff that it's subjective, you know, that they can make the proper decision, then I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with you and Sarah making those types of decisions, especially when it comes to a fence, So how much leeway do we have?
I mean, the note is on the map.
I see that on the map and on the document also.
Right. Dominic. And so if in fact what is presented does not match the note, then we are not in compliance with the approval, because the approval has to comply with all the notes and conditions that are on the plan submitted.
I understand that. I'm just asking our engineer if we have the leeway to do that. And if we do, I'm all for it. I mean, because I'd like to handle this, approve the build, the design, and something like a fence could be handled by staff. I'm all for that, less that you have to come back before us. Do any commission members, let me ask this question, because it is a public hearing. Do any commission members have any comments on this?
Yeah, Ted, two quick ones. One, I agree with you wholeheartedly. If the fence is the missing piece, turfing that to staff is fine, in my opinion. And the second question for the developer is just, what is their rough timeline for completing the project after approval?
Yes, my name is Joseph Volt, and I'm partner and developer in the project. And I could just say, we're going to go as quickly as we could possibly go. From approval, we still have, can you hear me? Sorry. From the approval process, we have a series of things to go through. In other words, we will get our bids for construction, and we're going to make some decisions like the fence. So I think we'd like a little flexibility with the fence, because as we go along, you got to realize this is the first really development on the Derby side. There's a lot going on the Shelton side, and we're hoping to capitalize and hopefully start some renaissance in Derby, where we could get some projects moving on the Derby side. They're going to attract a better clientele, where we could basically have people that want to live in Derby, most likely single people, maybe a couple that want to live in Derby and commute to different areas outside of Derby or Derby itself. But we want to have some flexibility. Like a fence, I think, is an important issue. But being that I'm very adept at construction, I just finished a project that was sitting there for years in Newtown, and I converted it to all apartments and saved a building that basically was an eyesore and made it all apartments instead of a mixed use. So I think you have to have some flexibility, because right now we're having a serious problem on getting material. So that's the only thing I'm worried about. So I want to have some flexibility. I mean, I prefer to look at this. I want to have some wrought iron type looking fence. And I'm not saying I'm even going to rule out wrought iron, because one of my workers is actually a welder, and we do manufacture and fabricate a lot of wrought iron. So that's not out of the equation. Another thing is, we do use a lot, which is quicker, is the aluminum type fence that looks like the wrought iron. And another thing here, which I think this is a very interesting building from the air it's in. It's a beautiful building inside, with the elevator, with the brass, with the drawings at a dam. And then the outside's very interesting with the clean look and the windows being added. So I'm still exploring, even possibly doing a custom, could be a custom wood fence that could be really nice, depending on how it's done, like with cedar and attractive, you know, approach. But I think from a safety standpoint and a security standpoint, I think wrought iron or aluminum would probably be the best, in my opinion, right now, from what I see, because this is really the first project coming over the bridge from Shelton. Basically, it's any significant apartments, which are going to really try to get a higher rent range and try to cater to a better clientele, you know, so we could try to upgrade. So hopefully professional people would want to live here, lawyers, doctors.
I think one of the things Steve was alluding to was, you know, if you get approval, when are you looking to start? Which I think you answered that question very nicely, is we don't want to give an approval and then it sits there for years and then it expires, like some other approvals we've done in the past. So that,
yeah, I agree with you.
That's what the main question is. And you know what? Wrought iron looking aluminum fence, I have it all around my yard. I'm looking at it now. So it's, I understand. There's nothing wrong with that.
Thank you, Ted. I have the same thing in my house in Monroe. I have a wrought iron, aluminum fence looks like
wrought iron looking aluminum fence. I understand.
Thank you. And then basically the project, you know, just so you know, we've owned it over 25 years. So we both are, you know, we don't have no problems financially. So we both have a good history. So we'll have no problems financially being able to do the project. So we're going to move as quick as we could. And basically we're going to try to get, you know, make sure we can get all the material, get the construction moving as quickly. Once we get approvals, we're of course going to do financing. So we've got to get our financing approval and everything. So it's going to move relatively quickly. We're not looking to do it a few years from now. We're looking to do it ASAP.
Thank you, Joe. Gino, you got your hand up or are you just playing games?
No, I'm good. I'd like to ask a few questions. So
go ahead.
Looking over on the print here, where that elevator shaft is, isn't there like some type of cell phone tower or cell phone units up there in that building?
The cell tower was abandoned. There was a company, Metro, that went in here. And unfortunately, it went bankrupt. And we've been trying for a while to try to get somebody to take care of that. So as part of the project, we're going to have to remove that. You know, remove it and basically redo the roof. That's part of our cost that we're going to take over, myself and John. So we are well aware of that. I mean, right now, we haven't had any other tower. I rent to a lot of tower, you know, like T-Mobile's and Verizon in my other locations in other towns. I have quite a few of them. But right now, I think they're mostly right across the street, I think, on that high-rise apartment, I believe.
Okay, they're already there. Just the reason for my question was that, you know, I drive by there a lot and I happen to notice the, you know, the brick that was up on top. And so where you put these windows in, what kind of system are you going to use to, you know, to tooth back in the brick? Is that going to be just a thin brick that you're going to put?
No, we're going to fabricate. In other words, we're going to cut out the brick and fabricate, you know, a nice trim, you know, piece.
Oh, okay.
But yep. The stuff that you're seeing come off is not brick. That was a requirement the city had. The people that built it had a match. We made sure in our lease that they had to match the existing brick. And that's all fake material. And that's from the storms and hurricanes. It's gotting the, you know, it's coming off. But what I'm saying is that'll be totally removed. All that chases and all that stuff's going to be taken off. The other brick is fine. There's no, you know, issues with it at all, other than some repointing in the front on the granite and the masonry stuff. But that's not real, you know, stone that's falling.
Gino, you get all your questions answered? You got anything else?
No, I think that's good from what I could tell here. I'm good. Thank you.
Any other comments from any commission members? Any comments at all? We'll open it up to the public then. Is there any comments from the public? Any comments from the public at all? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, did you email correspondence that perhaps should be read into the record?
I got to dig up the email. I don't have the email. It's in my inbox, but.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Mark. You can read them in if you want.
No, I don't have them. I can get them. I only had one. I don't know if there were others that were sent.
Yeah, there were two. Only one. They were sent in favor for this development.
Right. But I want to speak on my own behalf.
Go ahead.
I follow 95 Academy Hill Road. Derby. I just want to speak on this matter and just encourage the board to make sure that the aesthetics, as have been raised, including the fencing, the windows, and so forth, meet the standard of the original part of the building to improve the quality of the view of downtown. This is a beginning point. We want to make sure that it sets a good foundation. And also just to make sure that the parking is adequate to cover the amount. The off-street parking is adequate to accommodate the likes of this project. Thank you very much.
Ed, for Ken.
Carmen.
Yes, please. Carmen DeCenzo, 7J Drive. I would not worry about the aesthetics or what Mr. Val is going to do. I know Mr. Val, I know his properties, and I know he does a wonderful job. This is a great project for the city because of the apartment sizes. There's no impact to services or to the high school or to the school system. It's in the downtown area. Our downtown is in desperate need of foot traffic, and I think this will be a beginning. We just had some properties turned over to another developer that I know who is fixing up those properties. And I think you're going to see a revitalization in downtown over the next 2 years. And I know Mr. Vol is going to take his property and he's going to fix it up tremendously. And it's going to work great for Derby. And I thank him. Thank you.
Thanks, Carmen. Anybody else from the public like to address the commission at this time?
Ted, actually, I would like to jump in if I could.
Sure. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I was having microphone troubles when you were on the commission part. I've seen a lot of Mr. Vall's work. I've seen a project he worked on in Monroe. And I would just like to say, I really think he's the kind of guy that we could use in downtown Derby to maybe catalyze some of, you know, the renaissance and the renovations that we'd like to see downtown. I really think this project could be a good, you know, cornerstone for that. And just looking over the plans and some of the ideas he has, it really seems like he's not just trying to come in here, bang out some apartments and get out. He really wants to build a project and have something that competes with what we're seeing across the river and have something that people want to live in. He's got the right vision for Derby.
Is there anybody else from the public or the commission that would like to address the commission at this time? Anyone else from the public or commission?
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
I agree with, kind of concur with what everybody's saying here. Just one thing came to mind. I believe years ago on the front of that building, being that it is four stories in the front and it is very visual, especially from Shelton, I think there was some uplighting on the building facade there. Just a question if they could look into that. I think they were like brass fixtures, big square boxes that uplit the front of the building. And it really did look good. Like back when I was a kid, I recall that.
Beautiful. It's still there.
I think
it's still there.
If they could even maybe just look into that, because it really makes a difference for downtown. That's all I have.
Retrofit.
Thanks, Ray. Anyone else from the commission or the public like to address the commission at this time? Anyone else from? Anybody else? I move that we close the public hearing. Yo, go ahead.
Sorry, it's Eugene from the Valley. And I know it's not a question and answer, but what the heck. I was wondering if there's any information on the type of rent range that'll be offered there. And then just as an ignoramus, what's in the building now? How is there a significant vacancy? And what is the office space rental like now in Derby?
It's terrible. I mean, I've owned it for 25 years. It's never been worse. But to be honest with you, everywhere in Connecticut, I have office buildings all over the state. Wallingford, I have a lot of square footage. Trumbull, Monroe, Bridgeport, Newtown, all over. There's no demand almost for office space, to be quite frank. I don't care where you go. I have Class A office, I have Class B, and I have Class C. But Derby, the problem is you can't get the price even to cover. I've been losing a fortune on this building myself and my partner, John, for a number of years because we try to help everybody that tries to come in to survive. And the tenants love the building, but unfortunately, with COVID, we lost a number of tenants just because they're working remote and they're going to stay remote now. And that's just a process that's happened since COVID, but there's really no demand for that. So I think apartments are really going well. If you look at Shelton, I mean, it's unbelievable. I can't even believe some of the projects they've put up and the rents they're getting. They're getting really good rents there. We aren't anywhere near that in Derby yet, but we're hoping to set the threshold for really good rents. And we're not going to be as high as Shelton yet, but we're going to try to make it high enough to attract the right type of people and make sure that it's good for the city of Derby and it's good for, you know, everybody concerned, because it, ultimately we got to make money with the building because that's our goal. So in other words, we want to make it a very nice building, attractive, and start the process rolling. So hopefully, I know some other developers doing some buildings in Derby they bought and they're renovating and they're buying more. So I'm excited about it. So I'm very happy, and John's very happy to be involved with this project, because my experience, I'm a little older than John, but I've been doing rehab since the late 1970s. So I've done hundreds and hundreds of rehab buildings. So that's my experience. And I would love to keep the character of the old building and at the same time, make it very attractive. I want to try to keep the ceiling. I mean, we have beautiful hand painted ceilings on the first floor, and I want to still take some of the people into the building now, you know, so they could get to see it. And I'd like to keep as many of the effects that I think are attractive in the building. I'd like to keep them, like the elevator and some of the carpentry, the woodwork. I have some really good carpenters on my staff that could build really nice stuff. So I'm excited about trying to make this.
I think you hit it, that commercial real estate is pretty much dead wherever you go. Right. I can concur with that, that you're not, if you're just in commercial real estate, you're having a problem right now. The rents, I think what Eugene from the Valley Indy was alluding to, what are these, not exactly, if you don't know exactly what you're going to market these for, are they market rate?
They'll be all market rate. They're all going to be 100% market rate. And we're hoping to break, you know, in the low $1,000 range, $1,100, $1,200. Okay. I mean, I'm hoping we can get into that. Because don't forget, the construction costs have gone up at least
150%. Yeah, they're through the roof. Absolutely.
They're through the roof right now.
Thank you.
Yeah, one more.
Hopefully that answered your question, Eugene. Yeah.
Yep, one more point that needs to be made, just to show you it's not just what my clients are saying. If you gander a view across the river at the building that is next to SpongeX, which is a retail building on the other side of Riverside, the new Riverside Drive or whatever they call it, there is a lower level commercial. The upper level was supposed to be offices, and the individual, the developer, is someone that I do some work for. I'm not working on that project, but the second floor was supposed to be offices. There's a public hearing tomorrow night in Shelton and before their zoning commission to change all the offices in that PDD to apartments. Because the SpongeX building is basically leased out. And what I'd like to see is that same type of quick lease out and people coming into town in Derby.
Thank you, Dominic. Anybody else from the public like to address the commission at this time? Anyone from the public? Anyone from the commission? Anybody?
Actually, to echo Dom, but Dom, you're talking about the building where Dunkin' Donuts used to be, right? The clock tower?
No. The one where actually Dunkin' Donuts was going to go. The one where Dunkin' Donuts used to be, that one is going up as fast as anybody can do it. My understanding is it's mostly pre-rented.
It's completely rented. Yeah, I was going to jump in and say it's completely rented out, and the first and second floor, I believe, are mostly
open.
And I'm talking about the smaller building. If you look across my building, and by the way, if we're talking about downtown Derby buildings, you should all wish my building a happy birthday. It's 100 years old this year. So.
Happy birthday, Dominic.
Yeah. Have you considered making it an apartment?
No, I haven't. But if you look across the river and you look at the SpongeX building, for those of you who know what I'm talking about, to the left of the SpongeX building is a lower building that is retail. The second floor was supposed to be office. It's going to be changed into apartments. The lower level remaining commercial. The people come in, and while the offices are not saleable, there's certainly the retail and the other things are what we want to see happen in Derby.
Ted, it sounds like you're looking for a motion to close the public hearing.
Yeah, yes, please.
I do have one.
Is there any questions for the applicant?
I have one.
Go ahead.
It's in regards to the dumpster locations. That appears to be in reasonably close proximity to the outdoor dining areas or close to, well, not immediately adjacent to, but close to outdoor dining areas from restaurants on Elizabeth Street. Is there any plans for the dumpster enclosure itself? Fencing, masonry walls, things of that nature?
It's going to be enclosed. The garbage is going to be 100% enclosed.
Okay. So similar to the fencing, Mr. Chairman, there are regulations regarding dumpster enclosures, and we can incorporate
it. All I want to know is if we can address it administratively with staff or not.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Well, Steve? My motion to close the public hearing.
Seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. The next item on the agenda is item number 10A, new business, 33 Elizabeth Street, LLC, 33 Elizabeth Street, special exception application for a commercial retail office on first floor, 22 and 10 one-bedroom apartments, discussion and possible action. I think we beat this to discussing it in the public. I move that we accept the application as is with the notes, and we allow the fencing and dumpster enclosure to be handled administratively with our staff.
I'll second that.
Made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, good luck. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We look forward to working with the top.
Thank you. Now you can go on mute.
Who seconded that? I didn't catch that.
Dan. Okay, item number 11A, old business, Luna Lamone Nature Preschool, 189 New Haven Avenue, special exception. They've asked for it in writing to be tabled, so we'll table that. 11B, 326 Derby Avenue, Cloud 10 Recording Studio site plan application. We don't have anything before us. Embroidery and site plan application, there's 10B, and Cloud 10 event space site application, we don't have anything for Boris. So we'll move on to item number 11C, PDD submit subcommittee informal discussion. You received something. Is there someone from the subcommittee or Ryan that wants to lead the discussion as to what we have before us?
Ryan, why don't you start and then I'll chime in.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. The subcommittee has worked for the last several months to come up with possible language for what we refer to as an SDD or Special Development District zone. The discussions were very thorough, I thought. I thought it was very engaging with Al, Dave, and Steve. And essentially, the Cliff Notes version is that what the subcommittee is looking to do is create the potential for a special development district within non-residential zones. I would say primarily the I-1, B-1, B-2 public zone and hospital campus zone to allow for flexibility in design and different styles of uses that might not otherwise be considered within the regulations. There were specific discussions regarding the potential for residential areas adjacent to these more commercial or non-residential districts. And that was discussed last month with the commission at large, and there was not a flavor for the commission or the subcommittee to incorporate those residential areas into this potential special development district areas.
Okay, let me ask a question and stop right there. What if we have an issue with something that is grandfathered in a residential district that is abutting a business district and we need to handle that in some way, shape, or form? What was the pleasure of the subcommittee during that, to how to address that?
I'll answer that.
Dave?
I'll answer that. I think that issue does need to be addressed, but it should not be addressed in the SDD.
How are we going to address it then? How do you think we should address it? How can we legally address it?
We can legally address it in a different section, a different amendment to our regulation that would specifically address non-conforming uses in a residential zone, for example. Okay.
Okay. The reason why I'm bringing it up is we have a white elephant in the room. It's called THC. Right. It's a tremendously successful business that wants parking, not structures, not to expand his use, not to expand the business, wants to expand his parking. He's an existing non-conforming. He can't put one new parking space there. Right. So that's an issue that we would like addressed. The neighbors would like addressed. He would like addressed. Everybody wins, but we're not addressing it. And anyway, you guys spend a lot of time, energy, and effort on this STD, but I'm looking to see what we can address to make a problem that we currently have go away.
We probably have a half a dozen of those cases that you're speaking about non-conforming
we do have more
residential zones. And I don't believe the proper way is to alter the SDD zone to incorporate all of these adjacent or transitional type of properties, because we would wind up at that point quadrupling the number of eligible properties for this SDD. And that's not the intent that
we're looking for. Let me ask, what was the thought process during this process, because you guys worked on it a lot of months and really hard for a long time. If it came up, then why didn't we address that first? Because we thought we could address.
To Dave's point, Ted, what we realize is that by including all zones in this regulation or in this zone, that we would open up a can of worms. For the rest of
that. I totally understand that, but why didn't we address that first?
To Dave's point, in general consensus, we couldn't come to a conclusion that that was the right thing to do. The subcommittee agreed that the best decision was, let's leave it off of the SDD, handle it on a case-by-case, zone-by-zone basis. Obviously, the pleasure of the rest of the commission could be to include it in this regulation. But I think I speak for most of us that were in the subcommittee that we just didn't feel like it made any sense to do that. And we felt like, I said, can of worms is wrong saying for it, but an area where we think we might create longer term issues in the zoning regs and for people in those residential zones.
Then the question I have, and I asked Dave, was as a subcommittee, if that was an issue, why didn't that get addressed first before an SDZ got addressed?
There was no intent of the subcommittee, as far as I understand, to address those issues. It was to address an SDD zone or a similar plan development zone for the city. I don't know that it was our intent to solve all the issues in the zoning regs.
I totally agree with that, but I thought the intent was to come up with a PDT type zone that you can overlay over a zone, and it's an application for a zone change for a specific use for a specific area where you get to hold the person who's applying. If they ask for something you don't like, you just say no. You're entitled, and legally we have the right to do that. And it's not appealable. So we didn't address it. And that's why I'm asking, why didn't we address it? I'm trying to get to what was the reasoning behind it, because we didn't want to open up a can of worms, so we just didn't address it. And it's not directed at you, because a lot of work went into this. I'm looking at it right here. What was the intent?
The intent was to open up the non-residential zone properties in Derby, Ted, to the most far-reaching, wide-ranging opportunity for uses and designs that were outside of our current zoning regulations.
And we just did that downtown, and it's just about to expire their approval because they didn't do anything with it. So I could see that. But if we had a second kick at the cat, why didn't we try to solve some of the problems we did have in town? I'm looking to find out what the thought process was.
I think because we didn't have any specific properties in mind with this. We were looking at this for, again, all non-residential properties, giving them the opportunity above and beyond what any other PDD zone that we looked at, and we looked at six of them from six different towns. And believe me, this is the most wide-ranging opportunity for uses and designs of all of them. The specific problem that you're talking about non-conforming uses and residential zones, is a more complicated and more controversial issue than we wanted to address with this SDD zone that's going to open up other opportunities. I agree, we need to deal with these properties, and we should. But I think that we should do it in a separate way. We could do it as a different amendment to our regulations, something along those lines that will specifically zero in on those half a dozen properties or so.
The question why I'm asking is, you had all the brain power in these meetings, so I'm wondering why it wasn't that time. Weren't they there to help you? I'm asking why weren't they there to help you?
We discussed it, and we talked about that we need to have a different format in order to deal with these nonconformity issues. That was the thought process. We didn't want to hold up this new SDD zone and all of the opportunities that would give to non-residential properties over a more complicated issue that, frankly, is maybe a half a dozen properties are involved with that. So that was my thought process. Steve and Al, you could chime in on that.
I think you're right. We didn't want to. We want to try this out with something that we felt we couldn't do as much damage if we got it wrong. Whereas if we get this wrong and don't do it right, and it's a residential issue, it'd be a lot harder to fix that.
And the reason why I'm asking, Al, is because the purpose, my understanding of the purpose of an overlay zone, a SDD, a PDD zone, is to open up these opportunities to fix issues you have or put something in a space that it wouldn't normally be zoned for, or you wouldn't want to open it up. Two, why were those spaces ignored and then we opened it up here where we don't seem to have an issue yet? We're trying to open it up for the town, but I don't see people beating down the doors for something special like this to open it up, to come into the commercial zones, as opposed to maybe the half a dozen places scattered throughout town that do have a need.
They don't necessarily have to come in with a commercial type of application on these non-residential properties, Ted. For example, they could do residential there up to 90%.
I understand.
Okay, so it's not, you know, it's really, really non-restrictive in terms of, by far, the most non-restrictive PDD zone that you're going to find amongst the six other towns that we looked at. And you know, honestly.
The question I have, Dave, is we didn't address problems we have today. Why not?
Because
we didn't want to really open up a can of worms there, but we have problems today. Why not address them with a PDD?
The PDD zone is not the proper way to address.
And what is the proper way? I'm asking the question.
It's an amendment. We could create a separate amendment to the regulation.
You had all the brain power in the world to create that amendment.
That wasn't our task. Our task was to create a PDD zone. That's what we did.
Is that concurrent amongst everybody that was there, that wasn't the proper way to handle it, or wasn't concurrent by what you're telling me? Is everybody on board that wasn't the way to handle it?
Ask the other members.
I'm asking. I'm asking staff too, because you had not just members, you had other outside staff. Look,
Ted, if I may, we did draft some language that would address a transition area that would be residential zones that were contiguous to or immediately adjacent to non-residential uses. And the committee, I thought that it had been discussed with you folks in a more general term, but I wasn't at all the meetings. And you're correct that the commission under an SDD has wide latitude within the regulation to approve or not approve a particular application. And in fact, the way you can see all of the findings that one has to make. So if there were circumstances that need to be a carve out of some sort to meet what you're saying, and the commission in general, in total, was in agreement with that, that could be done. For example, and you know, you folks know the city much better than I do, but if there was a specific type of uses that you would want that are in residential zones, but you want them to be addressed in a different way, those carve-outs could conceivably be added into this regulation if that's the will of the commission. If the rest of it, the regulation structurally could stay, but that's a choice that you as commission members need to express to us, and we can make that carve out for you if that's what you want.
That's just, I'm one person, that's just my opinion. And that's why I'm stating it for the record and for the public, that I'd like to see that handled in some way, shape, some other means that Dave says of yes. handling it. If there's other means and how to handle it, I'd like to have it handled. Because because one of two things I've heard over the last few years. One is you can't expand a non-conforming use. So you can't even expand the parking. And number two is you don't want to make it part of the existing commercial and just carve around it, because then any use in that commercial zone could go there. So you want to protect the town.
So if I'm hearing you right,
yeah,
correctly, you're looking to have this, in addition to the non-residential zones to which it broadly applies, to address non-conforming uses that are commercial uses in non-residential zones. Am I hearing that correctly?
It's a commercial use in a residential zone. It's a non-conforming use.
Okay, and so by taking your approach to it, what would happen is that somebody were to apply under this regulation and call it an SDD, forget the geography for a moment, all right?
Okay.
And it were to apply to a non-residential, non-conforming use in a residential zone, and they were successful in getting the SDD approved,
okay,
then it becomes conforming to all of the rules that apply specifically to that SDD, which, you know, essentially when you approve an SDD, whatever design standards you approve become the rules of that property.
Okay.
So the difficulty I think that Dave was having when we discussed this was that we didn't talk specifically about nonconformities. We were talking about adjacencies,
right,
to residential adjacent to non-residential. Could it apply? Could this leak in, so to speak? And the concern there was that it would open too many properties to this regulation. Your qualification of limiting it to non-res, non-conforming, non-residential uses that are adjacent to non-residential zones. Is that the carve-out you're talking about?
Yeah, it's adjacent to a non-residential zone. It's a non-residential use in a residential zone. Okay.
So that carve out.
So we're looking to, and what we don't want is a free for all that I want to build this, I want to build this, I want to build this, right, right. I want to expand my use. I want to expand something like parking, but there's no conduit today to do that.
So the way, I'm making up language as we're talking is that the carve out would be, as we've said, for this could apply to non-residential, non-conforming uses that are located in a residential zone adjacent to a non-residential zone where there are no other means of accommodating the desired additional use.
Okay, and again, that's an explanation or something I'm looking for to handle this problem, if we make it part of the regulation or not. My question is, how do we handle it then?
Okay, so I am, let me tell you my position on nonconformities. I hate them. I hate nonconformities.
But in reality, we live with them.
Yes, you do.
We have them.
But
and that's what I'm talking about.
The fundamental rule of zoning is that you want nonconformities to go away, to conform.
Agree.
And expansion, and I'm a proponent of commissions that bar expansion. Bring them into conformity in some other means.
Yes.
That's the cardinal principle of zoning.
And I agree with that. Wholeheartedly agree with that.
So
we have a situation of a nonconformity, which you hate, and I don't like either. Let's make it conform somehow, some way, some shape, or some conduit to conform.
This is a mechanism that can be used. And if the will of the commission is to do that, we can write the appropriate carve out.
Okay.
It's not here, but it isn't that hard. It would in the very first section where it says non-residential districts enumerated, you know, it's applied to that. And we said non-residential all the way through. And then we've given the one exception to is that it is properties that would ordinarily be in your PDD, which you've already established, right? You don't want to subvert that. And so an SDD would not be applicable there.
Okay.
All right. But other than that, it's clear that it's independent of the underlying zone and with the qualifications. And I think you have to ask yourself, are those the only nonconformities that you want solved? Are they all non-residential in a residential zone adjacent to non-residential zones?
Okay, well, this happens to take care of another issue that I know of in town. This SDD will take care of that because there'll be a conduit for them to take care of there where they today they can't, but this will take care of that. So it requires some digging, some rolling up your sleeves and some looking at what do we have, but I see one that it does and one that it doesn't.
Okay.
You
have to realize that the term adjacent also means across the street.
Yes.
I mean, we're going to have to create a definition in the regulation of what we mean by adjacent, but that may take care of the problem.
That's some easy phrasing.
Right. Right. I know what Teddy was thinking on that. I think that's a great idea. Honestly, it's that solves my biggest concern of having all of these adjacent residential properties now eligible, for a PDD, and it would be chaos. Believe me.
This is the carve out to solve that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And that's why the discussions bring this stuff out. Yeah. So that's what I was looking for.
So Ted, to be sure, is that the consensus of the commission?
I'll ask the other commission members. That's my consensus. Let's ask the commission. But we're a board of seven, not a board of one. So that's my concern, and you addressed it.
It's like my statement that there's no accounting for taste except mine.
there you go. I'll let the members that were part of this commission, they lived it, they breathed it, they spent the time on it. I'll let them speak to that.
I'm comfortable with that carve out.
Oh, I'll go along with it.
All right.
Any other comments from commission members?
So the process here would be, so to move this along, because I heard attorney, everybody, I guess it was the mayor also, and I heard attorney Thomas say, please move this along. The process is going to be this. We can fix this draft, but however, I would hope that commission in the interim would get other, any other comments or clarifications that you feel are appropriate. So at the next commission meeting, we will have for you something that would then go into the approval docket, so to speak. This does require circulation to the Council of Governments because it could conceivably affect properties within 500 feet of town lines. So
let me ask you a question.
But that's a 35-day circulation.
Right. Does this get circulated after the carve out is made or before the carve out is made to give them a heads up or tell them a carve out's coming? But this is the bulk of what we have.
No, you want it clean.
Okay.
You want it clean.
All right.
And in my opinion, I don't like loose. That's too big a loose end because the public needs to be aware of what the potential impacts could be to their properties. And without, I would feel very uncomfortable with that.
Got it.
I agree. It should be what the commission considers to be its final draft, so to speak.
Yeah.
That's why I asked the question.
Yeah. So process-wise, we clean this up, circulate it in advance of your next meeting. So the resolution at your next meeting is to refer it to the Council of Governments under 83B and to then tentatively schedule 35 days out a public hearing at which this would be discussed.
Got it. Anything else?
Barbara, you agree? That's the process?
I agree.
Any other comments from commission members? I read through the document. You guys did a great job. It's fantastic. It's very thorough and very detailed. You know, being able to add a carve out will just be icing on the cake, so to speak.
Yeah, that carve out will show up. You guys did a great job. That carve out will show up in a parenthesis one.
Okay.
Vince, you'll let us know the final language of that.
Liz, you got all us, right?
Absolutely. I've been typing as you're talking.
Don't worry, we're going to hound them until it gets done.
Yeah, it'll be done.
Okay.
We've been awful hard on Liz.
Yeah, Liz has other work she's got to do too. All right.
Thanks, Vince. I appreciate it.
No problem. Good night, gentlemen and ladies.
Thank you. Any other comments to add to that, or we're all set with that? I thought it was a great discussion before we let Vince go for the evening.
Yep.
Dave, you still there? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Item number 11D then. Status of detention basin, informal discussion. I know we talked about this and I keep this on there. So we just keep it because we tend to throw it at Ryan and then we go away. But you know, that along with the detention basins that we have all around town is we have things that Two Mile Brook and that runs under places and we have trees fallen and ultimately, and I'll ask Carmen if he's still on, he might've left, where we stood with notifying the property owners of, hey, by the way, you're responsible to clean this up. What point in time are we allowed as a town to go in and inspect it ourselves or clean up what we have to clean up and bill back the property owner? Do we have any leverage there? Ryan, Carmen, I'll ask you folks, Andrew.
I think Ryan is giving us some headway on this. And with Sarah, our new CEO, has been in touch with Ryan. That day of the major storm, I was out in the field checking everything, and the number one thing that stares at me is the retention pond on the dead end up by Brian. He was out there. What's the name of the street?
Lanzieri Court.
Yes, thank you, Lanzieri Court. You can't even see the pond because it's all overgrown with vegetation, trees, brush, which that has to be cleaned out because, you know. We were traveling on Route 34 and we looked at the field across in Orange and you could see their retention pond was filled to the top with water. It was holding water. Yep. That I think is the way a retention pond should work. And it gets to the top and there's the hole and then the water seeps out. Well, this retention pond, there was no water in sight. So, of course, you couldn't see it even if it was there because it's grossly overgrown. And so are some of the other ones up on off of Ginetti Drive and such. I think it's time that Ryan, Sarah, myself, and whoever else is involved, Corp Council, we put a letter together. And if we have to get the police department to escort us onto these properties, and then so be it.
Because I'll ask the question again. Barbara, at one point in time, can we legally go in and if we get nowhere, clean it up and build the owner of the detention pond back? And it's their responsibility to pay the bill.
I just want to mention, and Barbara, she probably knows this already, we do have easements to go on the property.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Well, that certainly makes a difference. I did speak with Vin Marino about this today, and he said actually he was going to address it with Sarah.
Yeah, so I have sent out letters to the property owners that we have easements on because Ryan and I were talking about scheduling in the next few weeks visits to these detention ponds. And so I sent out letters saying that in the next few weeks we would be going to visit these properties just to update them and then request for them to do maintenance if necessary. And then I also last week found in the regulations, it was in like a very random spot. It was under site plans, but I found a regulation that reads all runoff control structures located on private property, whether dedicated to the city or not, shall be accessible at all times for city inspection. So to me, that sounds like we have the right to access these properties whenever we want.
Okay, so which is great. Now let's go back to the same question. When can we inspect and legally, if they choose to ignore the letter, your letter, if they choose to ignore your letter, Sarah, Barbara, when can we legally go on and clean it up ourselves with no recourse?
Yeah, I don't have the answer to that question right now. So
that's why I continue to keep this on. That's why I continue to keep this on the agenda, because until we get an answer and clean it up, it's going to stay here and we're going to talk about it every single
time. And that just as important is to make sure that we can build the homeowners.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
That's part of the most important.
Mr. Chairman,
the last thing on the approval note is if all the taxes and everything are paid to the city, then they can go ahead and get their building permits, their CO, whatever. Why can't we do this here and build these people back? Dave.
But, you know, let's go to first things first.
Right.
Has the staff located the subdivision approvals and plans for these properties where the detention basins are?
Yes.
Every one of these detention basins was created as part of a subdivision plan for the houses that were built adjacent to it. Within that approval, you're going to find details about the detention basin, the responsibility, the maintenance of the detention basins, and the city's right to enter and to clean these detention basins if they're neglected. You have to have those documents,
Dave,
before you're going to go in
legally. Is yes, we found them and we have them in hand for several of them, probably about six or seven. There's a few that that it's not as explicit, like the Lanzieri Court situation, as it is in Ginetti Drive, as it is in, say, Lilac Court, or E. Bassett Lane, et cetera. So we do have those documents in place for, I would say, subdivisions that have been approved in the last 25 years. Those are very
specific. Right. And the Lanzieri Court actually went through two reviews. One when the original subdivision was built there on Lanzieri Court. The other one was when Cornfield across the road was created. And that is also tied in at a much later date. But you'll have records of that as well.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
It's Gino DiGiovanni.
Gino.
We've been talking about this now for 7 months minimum, that I'm aware of. What happened before I got here, before November, I'm not too sure about. But every month, we asked the same questions. We asked the attorney. We asked the other parties involved, when can we go on these properties and clean them out ourselves and back charge them? And we just don't get any answers. I mean, we've had some serious rain, not just in the last 30 days, but this whole season. And I know for a fact, because I work outside every single day in the weather. So we have homeowners and property owners that are being impacted, not just from the Lanzieri Court one, but we've had property owners that have written us numerous letters that are, they're getting flooded out, their properties are being damaged from it, and we have no answers to give the homeowners or the property owners for the at least the last 7 months. So I don't understand why we can't get an answer to any of our questions from either the attorneys or whomever the parties may be. What is the issue? Why can't we get an answer?
I understand for a certain amount of that time, we didn't have a zoning enforcement officer who would go out there and make it their point and their job to go and like a rainstorm and take a look at these things because they're in town. So now we have Sarah here.
Sarah, Mr. Chairman, I've been asking it for seven months.
And that's exactly what I said before. And that's why I'm keeping on this agenda. I'm going to keep asking the same question till I get an answer as to what to do, because we owe that to the citizens of Derby. What are we going to do?
I've done it myself and gone out there during the rainstorms and personally looked at it after Mr. Jalowick sent us the letter. And it's been two letters since I've been involved here. Never mind the letters that were previous that obviously I didn't know about. But I went out there personally to the property and saw that it was flooded out. And I personally looked inside the underneath the Marshall's viaduct way there as well. Personally, I went out there during the rainstorm. And that's how I knew about the Lanzieri Court one, because then I walked up there and then I found that it was overgrown myself. And we've discussed that in length at a few of our meetings. So, I mean, I know we didn't have a zoning enforcement to go out there and verify that, you know, they're overgrown and that the water is not, you know, being held. But we've done that as commission members to verify that ourselves. So, I mean, you know, it gets frustrating, not just for us as the commission members, but for these homeowners or commercial property owners as well. It's like nothing's getting done on their behalf. And I don't think that's right.
It's noted, and I tend to agree with you. That's why I'm asking every month. I'm asking the same questions. Who's going to make a decision? Can we do this? Can we do that? How far can we take this to fix the problem we have and make it go away? I've asked the same question. How far can we go? When can we take it upon ourselves to take care of the homeowners? What is our can we perform the service and bill them back for it? Is there a conduit to it? I'd like to have those answers. And our attorney, Barbara, said that Vin was here to discuss. Vin's not here to discuss it. So we have no answers again.
There will be a clear answer by next month. I will discuss with Ryan, Sarah, and Vin, and we will have a clear path.
So I'd like to bring up a motion that by next month, we get an answer either one way or another. Either we can, obviously we know we can go out on the property, or the zoning enforcement officer could go out on the property and verify that. We know that she has the easement, she found that. So by next month, between the administration, all the parties to be, that they come back with an answer on which way we go. With a definitive answer of what we can and cannot do, and we'll make a decision on where we go from there.
I don't think we need a motion to that effect. No. I think what we need is it to happen to that effect. And if it's on the agenda and we don't have an answer, then we make a motion at that time to go do what we need to do to get it done. Just do it. We're tired of lip service and we just get it done.
Correct.
You're right. Every single month I look at this on the agenda.
Ted, I got to be honest with you. I think we could make that motion tonight.
But what good does it do us? What good does it do us? What good does it do us? We're going to make a motion to do something. I think we need to do it. And if agreed. That's next month, know, we can't make a motion that next month if we don't get an answer. We're going to do something. No, we make the motion
that's
next month. We're done.
That's not what I'm saying, Ted. I'm saying we should make a motion tonight to take action on the basins.
If you
make the motion. You have to know first exactly what the situation is and what...
But what these members are saying, we don't have
a motion tonight.
But we've asked the same questions for 7 months and we still don't have an answer. That's what they're saying. They're getting frustrated because they don't have an answer.
I understand. And I
don't know how to move forward if they don't have an answer.
I would like to make a motion then, Ted. I'd like to make a motion that the council, you know, puts it in the court of the CEO and whoever else necessary to take action as of this month and start making progress on this matter.
I'd like to do a friendly amendment on that motion. Sure. And include in that a actual action plan on how they're going to go forward, which each and every one of these basins that's being impacted. Because just making a motion to come back with an answer doesn't get us forward. We need an action plan at this point. We've been talking about this for well over a year. We know that we have a right to go on that property. Now it's a matter of who's going to go on that property and what they're going to do. And I think the staff needs to prepare some kind of a plan on how that's going to actually take place along with a timeline on it.
I agree. I think they should start it and they should start going on the property by next month. Yeah. We have done this with these properties and we clean these up and we build back the clients. And that's the way it should come as a condition of the motion. That's the way it should come as a motion. We should have an action motion that we direct the zoning enforcement officer and staff to go on these properties and clean them up and report back to us next month, period. And I agree with you, Dave, and you, Dan. We should do something about it instead of we're going to talk about it again for another month.
So moved as amended.
I'll second the motion.
Any other comments on the motion?
My support.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Sarah, put your boots on for Monday.
Motion to pay bills if found correct.
So moved.
And I'll second that. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay. Have a nice month, everyone.
Thank you, commissioners. Take care.